Hello there. This is Abhivardhan from Global Law Assembly, and we have another episode of Global Hint Season 3. On this occasion, we have a very esteemed guest for another session in collaboration with Covent for Counter Expo 2022, who is Mike Lynch. Welcome, Mike, to Global Hint. I'd like to introduce Mike for the viewers who will watch this session soon. Mike Lynch is the executive director of CBRI Aaron Academy. His experience lies in police affairs, criminal law, and especially counterterrorism. And his organization is committed to those aspects and objectives. So we're going to discuss about domestic terrorism and also understanding counterterrorism from a perspective of legal regulation, and of course, how CBRI Academy will be much involved in efforts countering the same. So, Mike, welcome to Global Hint again, and it's a delight to have you.
Good morning, Abhivardhan, and it's a delight to be here with you and anybody who's watching this podcast from sunny and misty Oxfordshire. How are you today?
Certainly, thank you for that. So, let's understand a little bit deep about your organization. What was the inspiration behind, and what have you worked on so far? So how did CBRI Academy came into being, and what has been your longing inspiration?
That's an interesting story. I'll keep it brief for you. I'm a public servant, so, you know, I have been for 30 years. I was a senior police officer in a UK police force. I had a background of dealing with serious and organized crime, homicide, and all sorts of similar related matters. And in about 2017, I left the police, but still had that passion and moral responsibility to serve the public in some way, shape, or form. I had an international law enforcement company, and during 2019-20, I met my colleague and co-founder of CBRI Academies, my friend and colleague Ahmed Gamal, and he came from a different perspective on CBRN. He is an academic with a master's in CBRN studies. He went to the University of Rome Tor Vergata. And he was also, interestingly, he had businesses, so he had a business mind. He'd written articles and books on the subject, and he was very much engaged in that network. And what we realized is, not only did we have a passion for public service and dealing with the threat that terrorism had on society, we also realized that we had a moral comparator between the two of us. And so in 2020, we set up CBRN Academy in Oxford, in the Dream and Spires of Oxford in the UK. And it came at a backdrop of, a rise of legitimate use of hazardous materials for the energy sector and the industrial and medical sectors. We had increase in terrorist events, whether it be cyber attacks on energy, health, security sector. We had state-sponsored terrorism in Salisbury in 2018 in the UK. We had the backdrop of the Iraq and Syrian war with the use of chemical weapons. We had a pandemic in 2020 through COVID-19, and that's concerned that there was somehow a state-sponsored influence in that, and that's still not being clear. And then we had the historical incidents going back to Bhopal in 84 and Chernobyl in 86 and Fukushima in 2011. So what we realized is, not only did we have this intense background, we had this passion to do something about it and still wanted to deliver on behalf of the public, but we realized there was an inability of nation states and agencies to be able to predict, prevent, prepare, respond, and recover from such CBRN events and counterterrorism terrorism incidents. There was a real gap in vocation vocational training and educational offerings. They were either too high or very, very high educational offering, and the vocational was often not academic enough, not theoretical enough. So there was a lack of, there was a real gap there. And what we also finally realized is that there was the network, the ecosystem of people involved in counterterrorism and the CBRN network could be greatly improved through training, education, you know, improving the CBRN ecosystem. So we predominantly provide various solutions as a company to the government sector, so military, civil defense, health, crisis and disaster management, etc. But not just that, but to the critical business sector. So you're talking about your industry, your energy sector, your health sector. And we see ourselves being a link between higher level academic institutes, and we are linked and collaborate with universities around the world, and in particular the University of Rome Tor Vergata and CBRN Gate, their associated team, and we feel we are that glue between higher level academic, the international community, so OPCW, IAEA, Atomic Energy Authority, World Health Organization, NATO, and the like. So we feel in CBRN Academy that we are the gel to be able to allow people to better manage CBRN events around the world. So taking a pause for thought there, that's the sort of reason we came into this field.
That's certainly delightful and interesting to begin with. So my next question is about understanding terrorism in the context of domestic law and order problems, and of course, the role of institutions to maintain rule of law. Now, researchers in international relations, geopolitics, as well as counterterrorism have now declared recently since 2020 that the so-called South Asian part of the Indo-Pacific, which is the Indian subcontinent, is actually becoming the home to inter-regional and other forms of radical terrorism. Afghanistan is, of course, one wretched example, which is totally a conflict economy, no development activity. But even specific countries like Pakistan and, you know, even Bangladesh are actually having this aspect. And while Pakistan's issue is completely unique and specific, I'm not interested to talk about it much. But Bangladesh is somewhere down the line also facing this problem. And of course, in the rest of the Indian subcontinent also, even in India, at a domestic level, terrorism is an important concern. So how do you look at it from an aspect of policy, sometimes even the political economy, which is your internal political aspects, and from a perspective of governance? Because we see that the Indian subcontinent, particularly India, will be subjected to various activities of terrorism in the coming years. And there is a rise in that, because many people claim that, quote unquote, ISIS, for example, has actually reached into the Indian subcontinent, either through Pakistan or either through whatever route. So how do you see this development, and where does your understanding lie?
Well, I'd like to pick up on a point there that you made about the complexity of this issue of terrorism and for us CBRN solutions. You look at terrorism and extremism around the world and local to the Indian subcontinent, and the around the world, we're not clear about exactly what terrorism always is. So, for example, if you look at the UK's perspective, you know, we focus on, you know, actions or threats designed to influence governments or, you know, intimidate the public. often for political or religious, ideological reasons. But then you have, you know, the emergence of extremism, whereby, you know, they can be vocal groups or active opposition to values, democracy, rule of law, liberty, and such. So it's trying to understand what the risks are, what the problems are, what the threats are, and therefore then what the response is. Are you, say, the Indian India and other Asian nations locally, have they actually got the correct policies and therefore international best practice and procedures in order to ensure that they can predict an event? You know, they've got a strategy, you know, they've got policies in place to predict or to prevent it, because that's what how I viewed this issue. You know, we should be tackling it before it starts, and if you're not, you know, from a policy perspective, if you're not prepared for that, you need to influence policy development. You need to recognize the internal politics and structure within the country and the geopolitical situation, and you need to develop strong networks within the region where you're developing sympathetic policies with your neighbors, whether it be internally to India or externally. That's the way I'd simplify, you know, the politics and policy. Is we've got a complicated subject here, and we need to simplify it somehow, and we need the policy and procedure in order to do that, so that we don't have to deal with it, or we limit the damage that it causes. So if we then move to the next stage and we have such incidents, you know, then we need to be prepared and have a plan to be able to respond to those. So if incidents occur on the borders or within India, you know, what is the policies, how the agency structured, the first responders, are they able and prepared to respond to an event? If a fire officer goes to an event, if a security officer goes to an event, do they know the difference between an accident or incident? And can they differentiate to something that is actually terrorism or is a CBRN event with a criminal intent? And once they can make that differentiation through their training and development of those teams, they will have the correct equipment, the correct structure, knowledge and practice and procedure to then go on and deal with that effectively. Often we're not these days, you know, seeing, you know, state level terrorism, if you like, in its traditional form, you know, in a war, a theater of war. We're often seeing individual minority groups or individuals, even organized crime, who are using terrorist tactics within a country to destabilize an economy. And so these are criminal groups, and I always like, certainly people who I work with, to understand that at the end of the day, if it is complex, still there often is a crime against the local community, often civilians and people within society, and somebody needs to be held accountable to that. So this is where law enforcement and the military need clear policy direction as to who is going to lead on these things, because internationally, I'm sure you'll probably appreciate this, we've gone from it being led and driven by our military leaders and military strategy down to in a civilian environment where the police and other key stakeholders have to work together to deal with the actual events and then move on and bring normality and then establish who actually was involved in this. So you've got a criminal investigation of the largest level. So there are both policy issues, number one, there are real operational issues. You know, have we got the right partnerships in country, both locally and internationally? Do our responders have the right equipment? Are they trained appropriately? And do we have a cohesive strategy? And do we have an ecosystem within India and the surrounding partner countries, whereby we can share information, share research and development, and engage with that international network? So that's the way I look at the challenges within the Indian subcontinent.
I'd say that's an interesting generalization. And I think from this, a lot can be understood by the viewers, in my opinion. So let's talk about aspects of engagement. It's to the aspect of opportunities, to be very honest. So what do you think are the opportunities for the government of India, you know, and its statutory bodies and its agencies to engage with the private sector, which deals with counterterrorism and security affairs, while, of course, it's trying to improve the preparedness related to counterterrorism? So how do you see this? And what aspect of engagement is necessary? You've made a very good point about first order, second order effects, the differentiation of incidents and events. So how do you look at that aspect?
Well, you know, I look, you know, through my career, it's been my responsibility to look at public safety, not just from a policing perspective as a senior officer, but looking at it, it's a perspective of the government, the local governments, and key stakeholders, whether that be businesses, whether it be the fire service, the military, other emergency services, or that disaster and crisis management teams. So what I would say when I will sit down with key stakeholders in India is I will be saying, I understand through my own experience and life that you have the widest range as a government and their agencies. You have a wider range of things to deliver on beyond just this. And there are some essential benefits by having the business sector involved. They bring not only their ability to their local, like with COVID's, their geopolitical awareness is heightened. They work on this in the background. It's more of a specialism for us. You know, we bring specialist networks and international subject matter expertise to this subject. We bring potentially, you know, the opportunity of you know, financial support that's on offer internationally, but we bring the knowledge and practice to the table. We already, through COVID, so we have an influential network within the country. You know, we understand, you know, the political challenges within the country and the region. We're used to and can support you in a specialist way around developing that policy strategy, because that's what we do. We understand what other countries have done. We also have a network ourselves of companies that can offer support. We know the stakeholders in India. We know who should be at the table around counterterrorism and CBRN response and preparedness. And we know how to create that ecosystem. So from my point of view, you know, certainly from CBRN Academy's point of view, we're able to build that CBRN ecosystem, that counterterrorism preparedness structure at a strategic and an operational level. We have the international expertise through our subject matter experts. And we also bring, let's not forget this, we can be very strategic about this, but there are security guards in malls and hotels and airports. There are people who work in hospitals who don't realize that there is a potential risk and threat by using radioactive materials in health environments, and there's a criminal influence on that. So we have the vocational and academic training capability which we deliver internationally, whether that be basic training for security people as part of their general duties or specialized advanced for military emergency responses, police, etc., and critical businesses. We also really are keen at setting up centers of excellence in the region. So, aligning maybe with an academic entity and building the center of excellence for CBRN and counterterrorism there, and then bringing through the back of that some real practical, cost-effective equipment solutions, because there's no use in knowing how to deal with things if you're not protected to go and respond to these events with the right equipment. So that's how I think we, as a partnership, can bring added value from the business sector to the stakeholders in the region.
Definitely. So let's talk about, and since we are short of time, what we can do is I can combine two questions that I have in my mind right now.
Okay.
So the one question which I have is regarding your advantages of collaboration with Covents, which of course includes certain challenges. But at the same time, what are your expectations from, I'd say, Counter Expo 2022, and how do you see how you look forward to the conference?
Well, this conference is a series of events that we CBRN Academy and now with Covents are getting involved in. This to me is a way that we can expose the good work that Covents has been doing to try and raise this subject within India to improve the capability and capacity within the country and actually keep it safe. And so with that, as of our involvement in the expo, what we bring is that doorway into the international community. So for example, it's a challenge of around counterterrorism, CBRN studies, is nobody really has had the opportunity to bring together all that international network and also the international guidance that you get around counterterrorism and CBRN professions, that are provided and exist out there from international agencies like the OPCW. They're focusing on chemical weapons convention and keeping the world free of and peaceful in relation to that. And you've got the Atomic Energy Authority. They're the central intergovernmental forum around the safe use of radioactive and nuclear science and technology. The same with the WHO, the World Health. They're leading on the to expand universal health. We as an academy and our partners in the higher level academic environment, such as the University of Rome Tor Vergata, we're bringing that doorway through the expo to this wider ecosystem to provide India with that support, that guidance, learn from the ability to learn from our mistakes, the ability to be seen as a country who is and a region that is taking this threat seriously, who's keen to ensure that it's a safe place to not only live and work, but to grow the economy on an international basis. We want to see, and we were keen to use the expo to support the country to be seen as a location where who do have centers of excellence within the region. They are linked to international best practice and guidance, and they are trying to, this is the main driver, is predict and prevent it. Because if we do not want, if we can help it, to get into the phase of having to prepare, respond and recover, because that's damage limitation. And the message I want to bring out is the ecosystem and the structure, whether it be the vocational courses, the academic courses, the equipment solutions that we offer, the policy development and the networking. We want the Indian region to be a prosperous, to continue to prosper. And we see the Expo as a lifeline to the international community to support them to do that. And I want to see India and the government and the stakeholders through the Expo is to be seen as somebody who's really got the well-being of the country at heart. So that's how I see it in a macro way.
That's really great. So here we come to a much positive conclusion of this episode of Global Hint. I would like to thank Mike for giving time from his busy schedule for this session. And I think viewers would love listening to Mike again in the Counter Expo 2022 from January 28 to 30. For more information, I'd surely recommend people to go to conference.covens.com to know more about the Counter Expo 2022. And I would really recommend them that if you attended, please use this hashtag Counter Expo 2022. So with this, we end this episode. Until then, we will be coming up with more episodes of Global Hint in few days. And I wish that the viewers might learn a lot out of the session. So Mike, thank you so much for joining, and it's been a pleasure.